Well, good morning. Welcome to the Audit Committee meeting. I'd like to call this meeting to order, and we are going to start with roll call.
Chairman Magzig?
Present.
Vice Chairman Cederberg?
Present.
Member Quintero?
Here.
Member Ricky?
Here.
Member Villanova?
We do have a quorum, so please rise. We're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take a quick second to look at the agenda, and if it is in order, I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I move to approve the agenda.
We have a motion. Is there a second? We have a motion. A second. Roll call, please.
Chairman Magzig?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Cederberg?
Aye.
Member Quintero?
Chairman, I can barely hear the person taking the minutes.
Oh, taking the, okay, let's, can you hear me okay?
For the, yeah, I can hear you fine.
I'm going to ask that,
but it went,
I'm going to ask them to bring the microphone closer to them. It might just be, that might be why
yes.
It's
right
soft.
Into the mic.
Thank you.
Member Quintero?
Yes.
Member Ricky?
Yes.
Member Villanova?
Who's just shown up.
We were just approving the agenda. Are you okay with it?
Yes, sure.
Let the record reflect that Member Villanova approves of the record. Sorry. Or the agenda, excuse me. Moving on to public presentations. Is there anyone in the public wishing to comment on any item that is not listed on the agenda? Hearing none, we're going to close the public portion. Move on to the approval of the January 15th, 2021 Audit Committee meeting minutes. Any modifications on the minutes from members? Okay, anyone in the public wishing to comment on the minutes? Hearing none, I'll close the public portion. Entertain a motion for approval.
Move to approve the minutes.
We have a motion by Cederberg. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second by Quintero. Roll call, please.
Chairman Magzig?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Cederberg?
Yes.
Member Quintero?
Yes.
Member Granke?
Yes.
Member Villanova?
Yes.
It passes. Sal, are you able to hear better, or is it still soft on your end?
Yeah, it's perfect. Thank you. Thank
Excellent.
You, Chairman.
You got it. All right, moving on to agenda items. Under 5A, consent items. Approved quarterly fraud report covering January 1st, 2021 to March 31st, 2021. Any members wishing to comment on that one consent item? Hearing none, anyone in the public wishing to comment? Hearing and seeing none, I'll close the public portion and entertain a motion for the consent items, item 5A.
Move to approve the item.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Quintero. Roll call, please.
Chairman Magzig?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Cederberg?
Yes.
Member Quintero?
Yes.
Member Granke?
Yes.
Member Villanova?
Yes.
All right. Moving to 5B, discussion and action items. Item 5B is review and receive. The restated 2019-2020 County of Fresno Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. This will be presented by Oscar Garcia.
Morning, Chair, members of the Audit Committee. Oscar Garcia, Auditor Controller. So as was stated, we received some CARES Act money of approximately $82 million back in fiscal year 2020, $81,579 to be precise, a million. And when it initially came out, there was some confusion, a lot of literature put out by the feds. as far as how to treat it. Late in December, they said it needed to be a liability. We stated it as $64.5 million as revenue in special revenue fund. It was segregated from the general fund. And as such, Brown Armstrong's quality control team spotted that and said we needed to restate it. So it has been restated. If we can go to page 105 on the digital. Karen, 105, digital. So if you go to page 105, this states the restatement. So if you see as restated 97, so the difference is $64.53 million dollars. So it is being put as a liability and not revenue as of today. Well, actually, as of December 30th, we had unspent revenue liability of $48.8 million. And as of May 11th, it was $23.3 million. So all that's converted to revenue once we met the criteria. We have the partner from Brown Armstrong on the line, Eric Zinn, if there's any questions. Eric, did you want to comment on any of this?
Oh, yes. And for the CARES Act grants, it's new, and the Fed was late sending out guidance as to how to audit or record it and report it. So a lot, many entities, they are confused and, you know, they are behind on submit the claims. And actually, this is just a timing issue. The grants is intended to help local government to use. So the minute you submit the eligible claims, you can recognize as a revenue. But before that, they want you to put as a deferred revenue, which is a liability line item, to be conservative. So this is the reason. Since it's so material, our quality control committee re-review the file and recommend we just restate it to be conservative. I'm pretty much sure by end of December, by end of this year, you know, most of the funds will be realized and used.
Just another general question. So since it's deferred revenue and in the liability being pushed over into the liability column, is it going to affect other revenue streams? Because other revenue streams are now going to be supplanted by these funds. And
no,
so
it is not. What we're doing is that we had it on a segregated fund. Once the departments meet the criteria, then we go ahead and reimburse the general fund for that. And that was in conjunction with bond counsel when we were issuing a TRAN, whether it was going to count towards our cash or not. It was decided at that time it was not going to count as available cash for the county until we met the criteria. So once every month, what day of the month, Mario, do we, what's that? So on the 5th of every month, we're collecting backup support from the departments. We go ahead and reimburse them. Of the $23.3 million that are left unspent, they have all been appropriated. So they have designations. They just haven't met the criteria yet. They haven't expended them yet.
So I guess what I'm saying is it can create a situation where at the end of year you have a larger fund balance now, because this $81 million can be used with the new guidelines to pay for expenses that are directly related to COVID expenses. So typically where, say, general fund revenue was used to pay for those things, as we go back and do an accounting, these dollars can slide in where they're related to COVID-19 expense, and it frees up general fund dollars, putting you in a situation where at the end of year you may have a spike in fund balance, unassigned fund balance, as you move into the next year. So as we're thinking about these things, is there going to be an asterisk maybe in this upcoming budget that we're preparing if we do have a larger than expected unassigned fund balance, just talking about how these revenues are helping to free up the general fund? And it's really one-time revenue, so we don't begin to budget thinking that we're going to continue to have a pattern of very large fund balances at the end of the year. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And other than public safety and public health, some of those other expenditures are extra. extra expenditures like laptops and stuff to work from home. Therefore, the county would not have been incurring that had it not been for the pandemic. So a lot of it's going to be that. I don't know exactly how much. I think Greg and Gene in the CAO's office would have a better idea of exactly how much it's going to free up. But we are just treating it as a reimbursement. They submit us their claims. We go ahead and reimburse it. So I don't think it's going to make a significant difference into fund balance, but I'm not sure at this time.
Yeah, the only thing I would add is that, you know, with my former department, probation, they were not budgeted items. So the COVID costs would come in. They were expenditures that were not budgeted. So though it got reimbursed, so it really didn't have
it was extra
impact on the fund balance.
Right,
it was
extra.
For usage of the fund balance. Yeah.
And I can appreciate, you know, what we're doing today. And were there any cities or counties that got their CAFR right and are not having to do a restated CAFR from the 1920 year? I guess that's a question to the account. Yeah.
Yes, many cities, they are conservative to start with. They recorded it right. But some of them, they are just being aggressive, just record everything. So they end up have to restate when the new guidance come in.
Well, because I'm aware there are some cities who actually recognized some of that money as being discretionary even before rules came out, and they had talked about parking a lot of those dollars for public safety and really didn't have the COVID tag attached to that money. So are they having to restate their CAFRs, or what's going on with those entities?
I believe they have to, after they went through the single audit, some of the expenditures might be determined to be not eligible. So with that, they might have to do prior period adjustments or restatements afterwards.
Any other questions? Oscar, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Nope.
All right. Is there anyone in the public wishing to comment on the restated 1920 CAFR? Hearing none from the public, I think since there's modifications that were done, we actually need to take a vote on this to not just receive but to accept. Is that correct?
Yes, and it is scheduled to go to the board on the 25th.
All right, so I'll entertain a motion for approval of this revised CAFR for the 1920 year.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is second. Roll call, please.
Chairman Magzig?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Cederberg?
Yes.
Member Quintero?
Yes.
Member Granke?
Yes.
Member Villanova?
Yes.
Excellent. Motion passes. Moving on to 5C, review and receive the County of Fresno, California, grants funded by the State of California Office of Emergency Services, Cal OES, audited financial schedules for the year ended June 30th, 2020. And this will be presented by staff.
This is actually being presented by Eric from Brown Armstrong. And we have, we do have some staff on the line, Nora Bell, Christine, and Karen, available for additional questions.
All right, Eric, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. This audit, it's actually we completed back in November 15th. For some reason, it didn't make to the agenda earlier. This is for the state grants audit, you know, for the OES grants and other state grants, we were supposed to audit them every year. Our main focus was focused on the grant revenue and the expenditures to make sure that state grants funding were fairly reported and were used in accordance with intended purposes as stated in the grant agreements. The audit went very smoothly, and the staff at the DA's office, probation, and the sheriff are very helpful, especially Nora Bell at the probation. She's very professional, very organized, and very helpful. The majority of the grants was in that department. She put lots of efforts, you know, for the remote audit, and we complete really quick, and we have no issues at all. For this audit, we did not propose any significant adjustments, and our testing didn't result in any findings for internal controls or compliance issues. We issued two reports, independent audit reports over the financial schedules, which is a clean opinion or a modified opinion. And also we issued another report on internal controls over financial reporting and the compliance and other matters. That report is also resulting in a clean opinion or a modified opinion with no findings on internal controls or compliance. And then for this audit, I have some required communication with the audit committee. The county for the grants related accounting, we didn't adopt any new accounting policy this year. There were no sensitive accounting estimates over the schedule of revenue and expenditures for the state grants. The financial statements disclosures are neutral, consistent, and clear. We did not identify any significant misstatements during our audit. We did not have disagreement with management during our audit. We did not consult with other accountants during our audit. Our discussions with management during the course of our professional relationships were not conditions to our retention, and we encountered no significant audit difficulties during the audit. We did not detect any fraud or abuse issues relating to the county's employee and management during this audit. This concludes my little brief presentation. I'm now open for any questions you may have.
Questions for staff? Hearing none, anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to accept the report.
So moved.
We have a motion by Cederborg. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. Roll call, please.
Chairman Magzik.
Aye.
Vice Chairman Cederborg.
Yes.
Member Quintero.
Yes.
Member Greinke.
Yes.
Member Villanova.
Yes.
Motion passes. Moving on to 5D, review and approve the proposed audit plan for fiscal year 21-22.
The auditor controller again. So the plan, if you can see on the plan, this is the audit plan we bring to the audit committee every year. And this is for 2021-2022. And there are a couple of items out there on the high risk. For example, public health payroll. In conjunction with the previous department head, he said his staff was too busy because of the pandemic. So we didn't do that, but we'd like to go back in there and we'd like to go in there and do a payroll audit. And we are in the process of doing social services. Is that correct? So we did a little of adjustments in the audit program, and we are still auditing social services. Any time frame on when that will be done, Angelica? So we've requested documentation. We're still waiting on documentation. So we'll continue with that. And then we put additional items up there as high risk, department, behavioral health, district attorney, and in case we run out. But we do have a few transition reviews, as you are aware of. We lost some department heads just recently. Four. So we have to do those transition reviews. So that will take us some time. So if what I'm asking is to approve it as is, we'll continue with the follow-ups and transition reviews and start at the top and hopefully get a lot of them done this coming year as the social distance and pandemic allows. And I'll entertain any questions on any of them.
Do you need more resources to assist in this process, Oscar?
We are working on that. So internally through in the department, I have asked for assistance to see if anybody want to go into audits. I think we had two takers, but one we couldn't move because she is helping with, believe it or not, the Creek Fire reimbursement. So they did not want to spare her and because she was up to speed on that division. So I need one more individual that hopefully I can get from within the department and start them training on that.
Greg, maybe you can assist with that, make sure that Oscar gets the resources he needs so his audit functions can not be impacted negatively. Any other questions for Oscar? Anything else you'd like to add, Oscar?
No, that's it.
Sal, I should have been asking you every time. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No.
Excellent.
Thank you.
All right. So this requires approval. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the audit plan for fiscal year 21-22.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by Supervisor Quintero.
Second.
We have a second by Cederborg. Roll call, please.
Chairman Magzig.
Aye.
Vice Chairman Cederborg.
Yes.
Member Quintero.
Yes.
Member Granke.
Yes.
Member Villanova.
Yes.
Very good. Moving on to item six, staff updates. Anything staff would like to update us on?
I do have some information going back to the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report for 2021. Is that in 2014, previous to me getting here, the department decided to move some funds out into the special revenue fund world. What was the total? The special revenue fund's coming back in. So a lot of the special revenue funds that were reported on the financial statements independently will now have to be converted and combined with the general fund, because we don't budget in those funds, and our standards do not allow that. If you don't budget in that fund, doesn't meet the criteria. It's a monumental task that we're undertaking. We had to do it during the pandemic, but we just did not have the time to do that. So the staff is undertaking that, and hopefully next year we'll have them all incorporated into the general fund. And it's going to look a little different, the general fund. It's going to have a lot more cash, first of all, but that's just going to be restricted cash for those other funds.
Hey, just make a lot of footnotes so it's very clear that, you know, even though it might look like our balance sheet's healthy, a lot of that's restricted.
Right.
And then on another note, I know you and I had a conversation about in the 14-15 year, I think there was legislation that requires the CAFR for the county to reflect unfunded liability to pension systems. And, you know, it, our unfunded liability right now for our pension system today is maybe right around $1 billion or a little less than $1 billion. So there was a huge hit to just net assets overall, or looking at
our net position.
Our net position. Thank you. I was
because the GASB 68 that you're referring to, and we had to go ahead and show that liability in the financial statement. So
one question that I had is on the CAFR. Does it recognize the full unfunded liability or just the portion that the County of Fresno is responsible for? Because as you know, there are five different participating entities, and while we are the largest sponsor, we still only represent 90%. And so I don't know if there's a proportional or if that's reflective of the full 100% of the unfunded liability.
No, it does represent just the county's portion, which is the lion's share, in excess of 90%.
Okay, just curious on that. All right, excellent. Any other questions? One general comment before we adjourn. We're one member short now, correct?
I believe that I didn't ask the CAO. He was supposed to appoint a department head. Did you know if he did, Greg?
No, I know he made a request for it. I have not heard about filling it. Yeah.
I think he had someone submit, and he was waiting for others to submit to see if. But I didn't hear if he did select that person or not. It's up to him to select the additional person, department head.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so I am just told that Member Brower did not reapply, so we're going to need another public member.
Okay.
So we'll put that on the agenda next time, or it goes to the Board of Supervisors? Okay, so they have to apply with the
public
board.
Applicants?
Do we have any applicants? I don't think we do, right?
Okay.
So we're going to have to recruit someone to from the public, and then Gene has to appoint someone as well, so.
Well, if any of you know of folks with a financial background who love audits and numbers, there's about five of them in Fresno County. I think four of them are on this board. Let's see if we can get that fifth, that fifth person. Find that person who
I became a lawyer and not an accountant.
All right. So very good. And with that, so the Board of Supervisors, let's find out if it's the board that makes that appointment or if this body makes the appointment, how that will work for that public member. I don't remember.
I'm being told it's the board.
Okay. Board of Supervisors. All right. Very good. So we'll get that figured out then. So with that, any other comments from staff?
No, that's all I have. Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
We have a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are Aye. Adjourned. And I'll note for the record, it was Supervisor Quintero who made that second, and it was unanimous to adjourn. See you guys in next quarter. Thank you.